You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
11 o'clock hour. Oh, we got some more news. If you guys joined us to start the show today, after Carrington was spreading lies yesterday about offering me tickets to Columbia, and I said no, which was never happened, by the way, we said, oh, we got some new insight today on something that happened out of Kauffman Stadium. If you're watching on the video stream, you should check it out anyway, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. Cody's holding up a photo, and it is a photo from the Jumbotron, the Crown Vision last night, of the Kiss Cam, and Carrington's next to a lady, and we also were told that he went in for a kiss and was denied. We're waiting for the video. Carrington has since arrived in the building. He says, I'll address it at 2 o'clock.
Wow, that's all he would tell us.
That's all he would say, but it sounds like there's
people... Strongly implied
that, yeah. Some people were speculating that it's his sister or something. One, he went in for a kiss, so I don't think it is, and two, based on the conversation Drew just had with him, we weren't there for it. Drew doesn't think it's his sister either. So he'll have to address it at 2 o'clock himself, but we'll talk more about it.
He's neither confirming nor denying. I don't know.
I think he strongly implied it is not his sister.
That's the vibe.
That was certainly, now maybe he doesn't want to reveal before 2 o'clock and he defends himself.
That might be it.
Maybe that it is his sister this whole time and it makes sense. We were told. We're still waiting on the video.
It doesn't make sense though. He's still based on, we're waiting for the video, but based on people that were there, they said he went in for a kiss though.
And that would not make sense.
That's what I'm saying.
That part would be confusing.
So,
and then I got to be honest, Carrington, this is the
timing
problem
for him. A day after spreading lies, this pops up.
The problem where receipts can hurt you. You know, like if you don't want this kind of thing on social media, the true litmus test of this is, what was your stance on the Coldplay video? And my stance was, you know, you are in a public place on a public screen in which they do this thing. You go to a Royals game, Gold. You take a date to the Royals game later. There's a chance the two of you end up on the Kiss Cam.
Yes.
That's a risk you have to take.
Right.
You know that that's a possibility.
Yeah. So far, everything we have said about this situation has been factual. Unlike things he said yesterday about.
Yeah, he was claiming you were ducking going to Columbia.
He was going at you a little bit. He was imitating your voice and everything.
Tell him asking for the free ticket.
Flat out lies. I was never offered a ticket from him or Rob because Rob went along with it yesterday. So, and then we were gifted this today. From the Royals game last night, so thank you.
Perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Ready to defend yourself anyway, and then Carrington got denied on the Kiss Cam. We're like, well, that's more important than anything he said about you.
Beautiful thing. It really is beautiful.
Sometimes life just has a way of working itself.
Yeah, I was so happy when I saw that this morning. Just gave me more ammunition. So good.
Good stuff. The best. The absolute best. Meanwhile, in the NBA, for starters, before we explain what's happening in the NBA, if you have done anything slightly nefarious in the sports world in the last 5 years, if Pablo Torre calls you, you're in trouble. Just for starters, you're in trouble. He's getting the dirt on everyone. For the people who doubted his reporting on the Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick stuff, I'm just going to tell you right now, nobody's doing more deep dive sports journalism right now Then Pablo and his podcast.
He has sources.
Pablo Torre finds out. He's got great. And now people are just feeding him stuff. Mm-hmm. The story now, his podcast today, it's covering a larger story as a part of it. But as one part of this podcast, he uncovered that Kawhi Leonard was funneled $28 million from Steve Ballmer for what appears to be a shell company based in tree and landscaping that appears to have paid Kawhi Leonard $28 million or up to 40 for a no-show job. And for those who didn't follow the SEC for 30 years or any other college football or any of the other sports for years, paying you money to do a pretend job so that you'll come to their schools the way it used to work. This was clearly to circumvent the luxury tax in the NBA, get Kawhi some more money, we pay for more talent, and it appears based on this bankruptcy filing, they circumvented the cap, and this is a massive problem for the Clippers and for Steve Ballmer that they might have been paying him to do a phony job for a tree company.
There's no way this is the first time or what is currently active in the NBA with a deal like this. I think, you know, we've speculated that maybe it's happened in the past with other sports, but there's no way Steve Ballmer, if this is true, that he's the only owner that is actively doing this. There's just no chance, which means
Tom Brady and Robert Kraft did this for years.
I think that means there is a much bigger story to come, I would argue, because if Ballmer's not the only one, what somebody else, now that he got caught, you don't think that somebody around him is going to say, well, look over here,
too. The same thing. Uh-oh.
And it'll try to make it seem not as bad for Ballmer because they'll say, well, there's four other teams that are just did this for their star player. We've always thought this kind of stuff happens. Now we're seeing it. It looks like, based off the reporting so far, that this is something that happened. If you're Kawhi, he's getting his money either way, so he didn't care. Steve Ballmer, though, thought he was going to get away with this. And now I don't think he's going to be forced to sell the team, Cody. I think if this is true, we're going to see tens of millions of dollars in fines. We're going to see him being, you know, banned from his own arena that he owns.
Just built.
Because it's privately funded. I mean, he built it. It's not publicly funded. He built it. He will be banned from his own building. Like, that's the kind of stuff. I don't think he's going to be forced to sell the team. But it's a big problem. The reason why I don't think he'll be forced to sell the team, Cody, because owners have to vote on that. And I think there's other owners that did the same thing.
So, like, look, some of this, I still think there was some behind-closed-doors stuff like this happening. Robert Kraft did this. He just did it above board. Remember? He bought a 10% investment stake in whatever nonsensical cube tofu food nonsense Tom Brady was doing at the time, which to me is the same thing. I don't think Clark Hunt should be allowed to invest in a business owned by Patrick Mahomes. They invest in the same business that's not owned by either of them, whatever.
Yeah.
People make investments. So people have done this in a way that was already sketchy, I believe. This is just straight up circumventing the cap. He didn't want to pay the luxury tax. He figured he could spend more money on good players. The worst part about this is, my whole thing is, like, this goes back to Missouri when they were cheating, Kansas when they cheat. If you're going to cheat, at least win. Like, I'll just tell you right now, if you're going to cheat, at least be good at it. Don't be the Clippers and be mediocre or bad. They gave the Thunder their first-round picks, still lose to the Thunder. The Thunder are the team winning the championships, and they might be cheating too, but at least they're winning. The Clippers aren't even doing that. This, you might be right in the sense that if every owner's doing this, they're like, I don't know, we want to make them sell the team. Because we make them sell the team, you better ask your team and the people around you, are we doing the same thing? I do think it's a non-zero chance. This is a big black eye. Because how do you make the other owners whole for the way that he circumvents the thing? You fine him and the other owners get to split that money like they would have for the luxury tax? Do you dock them first round picks? They don't even have, not kidding, they don't have their next two first round picks. Those legitimately belong to the Thunder.
You dock them years down the road then.
It's like the 2027, 8, sure. 9, and 30 first round picks, or 8, 9, 30, 31, 32. Like, I'm not sure there's a punishment that's going to ding him enough where he still could just technically spend himself out of the problems.
Also, we got to wait.
Just luxury taxes.
When does
forever.
The NBA announce they're investigating? Because right now, this is just a reporter investigating. That's going to prompt the NBA being asked about
today,
it.
I'm
they're
going to
have to announce. They're going to have to announce they're investigating this. So this could be a month or months or a year plus from now before we find out for sure. But if you're the
How
NBA,
kind of practice do you think
if you're
is?
The NBA, and yeah, and you find out other leagues, other owners are doing this, does the NBA want this whole? Do they want this entire scheme being public? That will the NBA ever admit that there were five other teams doing this?
Well, and I think
that so will there be a cover up? I guess is what I'm saying.
Or do you just bury the one and then like bury the, you know, like you kill Ballmer with it and then you tell everyone else, hey, that stuff stops now? Because the only person who'd out him at this point is either Pablo Torre, who seems to out everybody in this scenario, or Steve Ballmer.
Well, that's where, Cody, to your point, this all of a sudden, I think, is becoming a Adam Silver, like, it's a black eye to the league, but also it's Adam Silver's tenure, where it's like, this is happening under your watch. This is a big deal. Obviously, you know, the whole thing also with the Clippers, with Donald Sterling. I think that was David Stern when he was commissioner. But as a commissioner, seeing this happen, do you just bury it? And Ballmer's got to...
Punishment's got to be severe.
But if you're Adam Silver, I'm thinking of just your reputation as a commissioner of... I think you have to figure out a way to either force him to sell the team and just be like, you know what, we're not doing... This is something that has to get figured out again going forward.
Because sell the team.
It's a really, really bad look for Adam Silver, more than just like the league itself. It's just Adam Silver and his tenure. I think that that's part of this discussion also, that I don't know how much power he has compared to other commissioners in other leagues.
Is Donald Sterling the only guy who's been forced to sell a team?
In the NBA? Or his period?
To my knowledge, I think that he is the only NBA owner.
Snyder was pretty forced
to sell.
Well, I mean,
there was also the Panthers owner.
Yeah, I think Donald Sterling was the only one that was forced. But it feels like grounds to do it, but to your guys' point, I'm not saying that this is a person, but you look at other owners that have all of a sudden come in and they're spending a lot of money to get superstars and all these other things. The Phoenix Suns are a team that maybe stands out.
Sarver had the racist allegation, so he wasn't forced to sell, but I think they politely asked him to get out.
The old Suns.
The old Suns.
I'm saying now in terms of the do other teams do what Ballmer's doing? Ishbia's got a lot of money with the Suns. I mean, we're getting, you know, with
I'm not saying every owner has done it, but there are other owners that have done it. Now, maybe they're not actively doing it, but did they do it 10 years ago and they got away with it? Who knows?
This is why
I don't think he's going to be forced to sell the team if it gets to that point, because other owners, remember, have to be part of that process. And if they, like, I don't think they're going, remember, he's part of the club. Like, they're not, this is not,
tight knit group.
You know, the reality is there's way more pressure to be forced to sell a team when you have, you know, racial remarks or you
of
have
course,
sexual 100%. Assault allegations, harassment totally. For obvious reasons versus cheating, which is what this is. This won't, to me, result in him being forced to sell a team. It's going to be strong financial penalties if it's confirmed that this is true. Remember, there's no reason to believe it's not, but this is still reporting. The league hasn't gone through the investigation. Someone wanted to know if this was the same tree company that cut down your tree accidentally.
Did Kawhi Leonard randomly show up to your place without you knowing it?
It's a no-show job. There was no activity going on.
I actually had to fire off an email to them because they cut down the tree, and so we finally got an answer from them. They're like,
the apartment complex.
Because it's really close to the line. They're like, that's our tree, so we're fine to cut it down. I think it is an effort to stay, but their yard company doesn't trim around that tree. I do. So I'm like, well, get your boys on it. If that's your tree, start trimming the grass up to that point.
And?
Get me off the game. They haven't responded yet.
How long ago was the email?
A day.
Oh, okay.
I just said
this is still going on. This was 3 weeks ago.
Well, their lawn company just came and cut, and they didn't cut up to the tree. And I'm like, hey, my thought was, if you're going to claim that this is your tree, I'd like you to do the yard work up to that point. Save me the trouble.
How much more time is it costing you to do that?
None. Almost none. It's a principal thing.
Okay.
We're talking probably five feet of grass.
I just would have emailed the lawn company and tried to negotiate, like, hey, you cut down this tree accidentally. I've got a tree that actually needs to be cut down. Why don't you go ahead and do that for free, please?
Well, once they started claiming it was their tree, then I don't have much of the, like, do you
but
mind?
But is it their tree?
They did trim some other trees we asked them to in the back, though, so...
Oh, well, then they did what we said.
They didn't trim my trees, but they trimmed some other ones that were, I thought, sketchy. And I'm
did you ask?
Hey, if you're going to get... Yeah, I said, if you're going to get that tree...
Then they did what we said they should do. So it's done. Move on.
I want them to get the grass now. I'm trying to squeeze every last bit out of this place.
Okay.
Drew, are you arguing with people in the text line about Burrow and Herbert?
He is. There's text coming in. We're not even talking about Cincinnati right now, and he's going back.
What's going on over there?
No, I said somebody sent... This is like 15 minutes ago. Somebody sent a message. They were like...
Thinking of that, Drew.
I don't even know what they were talking about, but they talked about head-to-head matchups. I mean, look,
Cited head-to-head, so in fairness, I think they might have a point on that. You cited head-to-head when it comes to Josh Allen.
I understand that, but if you think, are we talking wins or actually caliber of play? Because if I understand, the Bengals lost to the Chargers last year, but Herbert was 17 of 36 and didn't play very well.
Drew, I had a family fantasy football draft tonight. Last night was from old high school friends, and one of the team names, they listen to the show, one of the team names is called Blue Chew Drew.
Hey!
Is their name also Drew?
Chew no, do it,
no,
man. That's
it's
great.
Their team name is Blue Chew Drew.
Shout out to them.
They love your Blue Chew commercials.
giving her downstairs a pep talk. Chew it and do it.
I mean, that's a great name. That's a pretty, that would have been Blue a good name Drew. In our guillotine league.
Yeah.
Unofficial guillotine league.
I already
not
saw,
associated
I saw Drew's guillotine.
Mine, unfortunately,
league,
is not named Blue Chew.
Did you see
Drew,
his
no.
team name?
No.
What do you think it is?
Well, it's something not, about Burrow.
No,
he drafted
no. It has nothing to do with the Bengals
this year.
It's
the other take that I think has aged poorly.
I gave it to Speck yesterday.
Oh,
and
the college
just
football.
Wait till you
college
get to,
football
hey,
is better.
Just wait till next week's slate, boys.
I got to guess.
College football slate
in.
Next week is better than any NFL oh, stuff that we have stop, next stop. Week.
I'll take some suggestions for my team name on the Guillotine League. Normally, I just put my name on there because I feel like people are there as part of wanting to be listeners. So I just put my name so they know my team.
Yeah. What happens every year, Drew, with this college football NFL debate is there's 80 college football games that are blowouts. And then there's one on Saturday night that's competitive. And we act like that's how the entire sport is. And then the NFL will have one bad Sunday night game. And we act like that's how that entire sport
hey,
is.
When the Cardinals hey, when
they
the
get like three good games out of 130.
Hey, when the Cardinals win 13-10 over the Saints, you can't tell me it's better than anything
but
else
we know
that we
those
see
are
on
two
Saturday.
Of the bad teams in the league. Nobody's saying that's the best view of the product, but you'll try to act like LSU Clemson is what every game is. That's like me saying the Chiefs Bills 13 second game is how
that
every
was
NFL
the best
game
one this past
was
weekend.
It was one of the best. Miami game was a great catch, obviously.
That was the best one for sure.
But anyway, all right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
So this is a story about a 19-year-old that now has paralysis briefly because he was on his phone too much. So basically, 19-year-old student spent a lot of time looking down at his phone. So he would have his
like
phone.
Most 19-year-olds,
you
know, sure.
You're looking down in your neck, obviously. It became life-threatening, though, after getting a summer job washing dishes and wiping tables with his head bent forward for hours on end. The pressure on the blood vessels near his spine became too much as he also spent most of his free time looking down at his phone, playing video games, browsing social media. He started experiencing numbness in his neck, arms, and legs. Then in the end of July, he woke up with no feeling at all in his legs and could not move because his neck was bent forward too long.
How long did they say he was bent forward like that?
Well, he was not only on the
phone.
He needs
a better posture.
Not only on the phone, but he was his job. He was cleaning dishes, so he was like bent down. Oh. He was taken to the ER. They discovered a large blood clot in his cervical spine.
Oh.
Compressing his spinal cord, causing his body from the chest down to be almost completely paralyzed. They told him why. Yeah, medical experts
man, that's
warned
nuts.
that bowing your head for a long time will cause blood circulation to stagnate, which in turn causes veins to swell and dilate abnormally. When blood is not drained effectively, it leads to those symptoms, such as headaches, prolonged fatigue, numbness in the shoulders.
That means that's the person's posture has just got to be terrible.
When
as
you guys
well.
Get, I'm assuming you do too, what's the time spent on phone update you get at the end of the week?
Oh, I can
always
check.
More than what I wish
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it's always
well,
an amount.
Yeah,
it's
I
always
mean, we're
an
all
amount.
That, but what was yours last? I remember mine.
How do I go find this? Find screen it. Time. Here we go.
Yeah, screen time. Let's go. Daily
average 5 hours.
Let's see.
This is better than what it used to be. We did this a couple years ago, and it was
yours
bad.
Was astronomical
was
a couple of years ago.
Five. It's down 20% from last week, actually, Cody.
Hey.
Five hours and 50 minutes in the last daily average.
5 hours and so almost 6 hours.
Yeah.
Mine is 4 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay, you got kids. You're busy.
Yeah, other stuff. And teaching has probably been dragging the average down. I can't look at my phone, you know.
What's
I'm
yours
teaching
say?
The kids.
5 hours and 24
right, so
minutes,
we're close.
Which is also down from last week.
Holiday weekend, out doing things.
I was like, what was
out
going
doing
on?
Things, holiday weekend, busy.
Which is, that's weird. I was on vacation and I was not on my phone as much as I thought I was. Oh, well, anyways.
So I'm just curious.
I was very busy.
Someone said, blame the parents, force your kids to go outside. Someone said their daily screen time, 3.5 hours.
Good
day.
For you.
That's not bad.
My computer is probably the one that would be really damning because this thing open. Well, both of our computers are open pretty much from the time we get in until the time we leave
TV,
the show.
This is the thing. It's only your phone. So it's like thinking about, well, you know, I'm watching the TV. I'm not looking at my phone. That's also like the amount of time that we're actually
there is times where it is for work reasons,
you know.
But there is definitely recently, though, fantasy football seasons. In football season, that 5.5 is going to skyrocket here in the next couple weeks as I actually turn the flashlight on.
You think it's
on
getting ready to go way, way, way up? You checking lines?
Yeah, because I'll be checking scores and fantasy football live scoring and everything, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I can't believe you got a blood clot from just...
Yeah, man.
I mean, you got to quit the dishwashing job. Time to get a sit-up
job.
Yeah,
that just hurts my neck and stuff thinking about, like, that happening. I don't know. Like, when I look at my phone, I look straight ahead for the most part. But, like, looking down, like, That's well, that's and, not comfortable.
And there's that person's shoulders are probably really rolled. Like, I don't have the greatest posture, but just knowing, keeping your head down like that, like, your posture's got
to
be.
Someone says they trade crypto daily. They average 10 to 12 hours a day on their phone because they're a day trader for crypto.
Yeah, that's probably Shams, too. I bet you Shams, he might even be higher than that.
Shefty and his, is probably 10, 12 hours a day.
Dude, Rappaport was with us. He took like 17 calls just sitting there.
Like, I appreciate him coming on the show. I'm not trying to bag on him or whatever, but like, the whole interview, he was on his phone. Like, the whole interview.
Why not over on Twitch says 728 on average per week. He said that's down 33%.
Oh,
so he's actually down a tick. That's 9-10 hours.
During football season, it went up to 7 hours last year, I think.
7 hours during football
season? Because on Sundays, I would have the iPad, which also counts for the screen time, obviously. I'd have that open with, live scoring for fantasy football while I'm watching the game.
I'll just check. So for fantasy football, I've gotten worse at fantasy football, admittedly. But I just check it after the noon slate. And after the 3 o'clock slate, I'm going to check my fantasy score maybe three times a day, after the noon, after the three. And what do I need for the old Sunday night football slate? Mm-hmm. Who do I need to get some points? I don't keep live tabs on it.
If you have money on the line, I feel like I would pay attention more to it. But normally, traditionally, the last couple of years with the Guillotine League, I'd check. Of course, I got eliminated in week one last year, but
I didn't check very often.
But normally, I check maybe once. I check at the end of the day.
If I'm not going to win the Guillotine League, then let me just be done early, because otherwise, I have five leagues this year.
Oh, that's it's too many.
And so if I get
chopped, it feels like a lot.
If I get chopped from two of the Guillotine Leagues early, at least that all of a sudden the slate, two teams I don't have to worry about. There's part of me that thinks that might be better
for
my
other. Our draft. I have another one tonight. I'm in Kramer's League. 20 teams.
That's too many teams.
By round seven,
you're going to be down to Breshard Smith.
Geno Smith's going to start a quarterback for somebody.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to have to take a quarterback in the first round, I think.
What order are you?
People
are you
doing bye weeks. There's not even enough quarterbacks.
Picks 10.
Some teams will just have to not start a quarterback in a bye. You should draft two quarterbacks, Drew. Not even your first two picks, but you should take two.
Oh, yeah. I will.
That is the trash of the day.
I'll take whatever Colts quarterback is left,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, I guess. Up next, wait to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Josh Klingler, he's in Brazil. He'll be on the sidelines there Friday night right here on 96.5 The Fan for Chiefs Chargers. We're going to talk to him about Brazil. We'll talk to him about the Chiefs heading into 2020.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Five, next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Real quick, you know, we were just talking in the last segment about Steve Ballmer and the Clippers. And
yeah. So
Pablo Torre was on the Dan Patrick Show a little while ago, and he said when they called the Clippers, they being Pablo Torre, to ask for comment, like you would for any time you have an investigative story.
You're a journalist.
You give them a chance to at least comment. They said that it was false, but they didn't know at the time they had 3,000 pages of documents and 7 sources to back them up on it. But so we'll see what happens with Steve Ballmer and the Clippers situation there. If you missed it, you can check it back on the podcast. We were discussing Pablo Torre's reporting on Kawhi Leonard and basically this shell company essentially that was created to circumvent the salary cap, allegedly, by the reporting there from Pablo Torre. But let's talk some Chiefs football. Let's go to Brazil, huh? Friday, Chiefs Chargers, 7 o'clock kickoff. Pregame begins 3 hours before that right here on the Chiefs Radio Network and 96.5 The Fan. Josh Klingler will be on the sideline. So let's go out to Brazil, welcome in Kling, and talk to him a little bit about what are we expecting in Brazil and where does this international trip stack up?
Well, I think the security aspect has been a little more maybe on guard than certainly Germany was. So I'm interested to see what the crowd is like, because I think last year this game had a lot of popularity and certainly the travel and the getting to the location and everything is a little more high security, a little more distance, those types of things. So I think once the game like settles in and kicks off, it'll probably be a little bit closer to normal. But this is a tough trip really for both teams. The Chargers had, you know, a 4-hour time difference. Kansas City has a 2-hour time difference and a lot of time just getting to Brazil. So certainly maybe it had more impact afterwards than it would, you know, if this was a game like middle of the season, like some of the other overseas games were, maybe it'd be a little more difficult. But, you know, hopefully being that it's week 1, there won't be a lot of, you know, recovery issues afterwards.
I know you haven't walked the field yet or anything, but I feel like you on the sideline is going to be even more important because of all the field issues the last time in Brazil. I know they've claimed they've reseeded it or something.
Yeah, it's a combo grass, and it should have made last year's teams feel pretty good because it was a combo hybrid grass with a little bit of a mixed in turf, and both last year's teams, the Eagles and Packers, had used that at their home venues. So they felt like it wasn't going to be a problem. So yeah, we'll see if there are any issues. Knock on wood, there aren't. We've obviously had too many issues, I think, with Chiefs games and footing and turf and all those things. You hate to have that, you know, jump up at this point. But yeah, still experimenting, I think, a little bit, even in, you know, in these soccer stadiums, and maybe Arrowhead will experience this on the reverse, you know, come World Cup time. Just the differences that you have to have between football and soccer. It's just two different playing surfaces. And so, you know, higher level grassologists, if I can use that as a sports word,
sure,
would have expertise in this better than we would. But apparently there are a lot of, you know, different issues between the two sports using, you know, the same grass.
Kling, when you look at what Patrick Mahomes' season will look like this year, I think the overused preseason phrase is the scorched earth mindset. I've certainly mentioned that before in years past for him. How do you kind of view this year for him as far as like establishment goes? Everybody, I think, with a brain thinks he's the best quarterback on the planet, but people feel like he's got to like re-enter the conversation for some reason.
It's so great, isn't it? I mean, like, look, just keep lighting that fuse, please, because he was just fine last year, but didn't like overwhelm. And so there are those questions, you know, if they're going a team that does try to get back what they may have lost offensively last year. You know, he's going to have a lot of weapons. We know that. You know, once Rashi Rice is back in the mix, he's going to have a lot of weapons. But I think he's going to have plenty between now and then as well. Certainly the last preseason game should have given people a little bit of a taste of what they want to do. That offense had a lot of fun, guys, in a short amount of time in the Bears preseason matchup. And I think that that's kind of the level that they want to be playing on. They want to play fast. They want to play down the field. This should be a better down-the-field team. But I'm most excited about the screen game, the athleticism that they can bring along this offensive line in the screen game. We know Andy Reid loves the screens, but getting Xavier Worthy in the mix, getting any number of guys in the mix in the screen game, I think is going to something that's going to open up this offense as well. So I think downfield passing, I think, you know, mixing and having a little more variety maybe than they've had in the past would go a long way towards, I guess, passing the eye test for most people, right, that this offense is quote-unquote back.
Josh Klingler joining us here on Cody and Gold. Of course, he is in Brazil, be on the call beginning Friday night here on 96.5 The Fan. You know, the number one storyline all offseason and after the draft was all about Josh Simmons. We all have seen him now, at least in preseason and camp. And he gets a pretty good test, though, Kling, against that Chargers front right away.
Well, and good, because I think, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of tired of, like, the hype of it all in a certain extent. I just want to see him play. Like, I want to see him play in a real game. It's his job to lose. He's been given a lot of latitude to go out there and just play, and he has performed very well in limited times that we've seen him. He's performed well throughout training camp and back at Arrowhead after a camp closed in St. Joe. And now it begins, though, for real. So we get to see exactly what he's made of early on, because he is definitely the guy that's going to have that job, and it's nobody else's. And so I would love to see him go out there and dominate in game one. Certainly both guys on that left side, right? He and Kingsley. I think it's a big game for both. If they can get out quickly and show everybody outside of the Chiefs facilities they can play, like put the fans' mind at ease, it'll allow us to kind of focus on everything else going on. If those two things look shored up, then yeah, what questions would you have about this offense?
Well, I guess one of the guys I would ask about, and you wouldn't, if offensive line comes into play, I feel like at that point, then we're all going to feel really confident. What's your ceiling opinion of Xavier Worthy? I was trying to decide, is it just Devonta Smith and it's nice to be the number two and you get your 925 yards and big play, or the way they used him at the end of last season where he was the de facto one because Rice and everyone else was down, that they did make him kind of a target monster, 6, 7, 8, 9 targets per game those last 5 or 6, including the playoffs. Is there a higher ceiling than like a Devonta Smith, I guess, is what I'm asking?
I mean, I think how they used him towards the tail end of the season would make the most sense with Rashi Rice out. I think with Rice in, it maybe makes that a little bit different. We don't exactly know, because I still think Rice will be the number one guy. But the way they used Xavier Worthy at the tail end of last year, threw more and more on his plate, made him targeted player, as you mentioned. His ability to get down the field, but also be used closer to the line of scrimmage. I think they're just going to keep adding more and more things to his plate. He proved he can handle it at the tail end of last year, and so I think it's probably something where they build on that. Hollywood Brown, as much as, you know, he's kind of gently, he didn't do much in the preseason, right? Kind of like gently using him. I don't think you're going to overburden him early on in the season by any means. Jalen Royals, the rookie, had a little bit of a injury setback. Juju Smith-Schuster has fit very, very well in this offense, but he's a guy, I think, that has a specific role. So at least early on, it's going to be a lot of Xavier Worthy. Why not? He's proven in a short sample size, certainly at the tail end of last season, that you could give him more and more and he can handle it.
Kling, on the other side of the ball, defensively, we know the sack numbers weren't there for Chris Jones, but anybody that watched this football team last year still knows the impact that he had. There was some even metrics out there that showed his win rate and pressure rate and things like that. Is the expectation, people you've talked to, that this is a kind of a, at least sack-wise, a bounce-back year? Should we expect Chris Jones to have another double-digit sack type of season in him?
Well, I think, you know, you've obviously committed resources to Karlaftis and getting him shored up. Omenihu is probably as healthy as he's been since he's been here. And Chris Jones, you have those three that should be able to get after the quarterback. And the other name you keep hearing is Leo Chanel. a guy that they really like coming off the edge. And he may be one of their better edge rushers when he's in the game. So I think that there is definitely a focus on getting after the quarterback, but also getting the quarterback down. I think they were very pleased with their ability to pressure a season ago. But how do you finish those plays, turn them into sacks, turn them into big plays, remains to be kind of that elusive goal. It was kind of a surprise, though, to me, guys, at the end of camp, not saying, well, they brought back Derek Nnadi. Wow, what a surprise. But it was the fact that they felt like they had to go and make a move for Derek Nnadi up front, which was kind of surprising. Look, they play 10, 11 guys along the front, right? And they've always had a rotation of two and a half deep along the defensive line. So I was kind of surprised that they went and got an extra number at the end of camp to kind of shore things up. But certainly from a Jones and Karloftis perspective, they're expecting a lot. And I'll throw Omenihu in that picture as well. They expect those three guys to really get after the quarterback. Omar Norman Lott was an early camp favorite. He's obviously been battling some injury issues towards the latter stages of the preseason. So I think that maybe you kind of temper him a little bit more. They have very good expectations for him long-term, but, you know, couldn't quite sustain. You got to be able to be available, right? You got to be able to not be injured. So he's a guy that I think will be brought along a little bit more slowly. Gelati has flashed as well, the other defensive lineman that was in the draft. So they got some depth along the defensive line, and then they went out and obviously felt the need to go get Derek Nnadi again. So shoring that up will be interesting. Obviously stopping the run, a number one. Can they stop the run? And for me, can you be a defense that, you know, no knock on the fact that they were really good when it mattered down near the goal line type of defense, but can you be maybe a better 20-20 defense than you were a season ago and not allow the kind of a little bit of the bend don't break? They were very good when it mattered in stopping drives. I'd love to see them kind of shore things up and maybe not give up drives.
Last question I've got for you, Kling, since we're only a couple days away from kickoff anyway. What about the Chargers scares you, if anything? Obviously, they lost their starting left tackle, but I feel like they've got two good offensive players. One's a rookie running back we don't actually know is good until he plays. The other is Ladd McConkey. I don't know that there's another guy on the roster that scares me offensively.
Well, I mean, don't you expect Keaton Allen to have a game? Like, I don't...
Fine.
I don't think he's, like, a long-term solution, but I'm like, that guy's just been a menace to the Chiefs all the time. So it's like, yeah, you figure, like, he's going to be a pseudo-issue. Certainly, yes. Hampton, we may see a ton of Hampton. I'm not, you know, I don't know where I stand. I'm not buying that Najee Harris is fine and good to go. They've been so kind of elusive with a lot of the
good
questions
to go 3.
There.
3.2 yards down the field. That's about as good as he's about to go.
Yeah, I don't think that one's going to be much of a factor. So you may see a lot of Hampton in the game, but he is indeed a rookie. Certainly you're going to see him in goal line situations. And then, yes, how do they handle the offensive line? I mean, you lose your franchise left tackle right before the season starts. Joe Alt, very highly thought of, but moving from the right to the left. Trey Pipkins moving from right guard out to right tackle. That's a lot to move, you know, right before the season starts or through the preseason. So can that offensive line hold up? And then, I mean, what is the quarterback like? I mean, does a 4-interception playoff game resonate with a hangover? I would think it would. As many questions as we hear ridiculously about Patrick Mahomes, I mean, shouldn't you be asking those about Justin Herbert? His season numbers were his lowest for a 17-game season. His interception number was low, but his yardage were low as well. And then he throws 4 picks in the playoffs. Does that have any type of hangover? And are they going to put some pressure on themselves? They got 3 division opponents the first 3 weeks of the season. So Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos the first 3 weeks. I'm guessing they think they need to probably get out of the chute fast.
Well, Clay, I hope you had a little practice with the Portuguese. Did you do a little Duolingo before you made the flight out?
Not specific. We got like a checklist. The Chiefs actually provided a checklist of some of the basics.
You carry around a note card?
You know, yeah, there's like a cue card, yeah. But they're very basic, like, you know, hola, gracias, you know. I mean, some of it kind of carries over. I don't know if it's going to be full-scale Portuguese. It might be half-baked Spanish.
There you go. Kling, we'll be listening to the broadcast on Friday night with minimal Portuguese, it sounds like. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it. Josh Klingler, he's going to join us each and every Wednesday throughout
Wednesday,
the
yep.
football season.
Normal as we day start. For him. We had to move stuff around this week because of Brazil.
Yeah, different timing. The team obviously landing in Brazil today. Then they have a couple-hour bus ride from there. It sounds like Kling's done his research on the field conditions. He how about that? Very beginning, he had a full breakdown on the grass ready to go for us. That's why I wanted to ask. It's a real story. I'm serious. I hope it actually,
we'll talk about it more on Friday,
now.
Sure.
I'm hoping we're not talking about it all come Monday. That's what we all should hope, because that nobody wants that to become a storyline where guys are slipping, or obviously you have an injury risk. None of that. So hopefully they got their, you know what, figured out when it comes to the field there in Brazil compared to a year ago with the Packers and Eagles.
There's part of me, if that's why they slow rolled Jalen Royals from the very beginning, is that the second he had the knee tendonitis and he wasn't practicing anyway, they looked at themselves in the mirror and they said, man, we're never putting this guy, we're not putting him on a 12-hour flight so his knee can get fat, putting him on a soccer field that's not a football field in slippery conditions, and they never put him on the IR. And if they were going to do that, that would imply that they thought they weren't getting him back till October. That tells me they think week 2, 3, or 4 are possible for Royals, and that this one was never going to be a portion of it, was never going to be a factor of it. It does feel like kind of a weird start to the year. I'm used to, over the last couple of years, first off, we kind of got spoiled, and I got used to the Chiefs being the first game of the year. They were 2 years in a row. And this time, they're not the first game of the year, but they are standalone by themselves, weirdo window, Friday night. Like, it doesn't feel like a natural...
Feels like a preseason slot again, Friday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, a little bit. It's got, like, it doesn't have the same energy to me as it did in the previous ones. And I don't know, maybe that's just because they're coming off the loss and the Friday night part of it. And then you got, like, McDermott talking about the 4 Super Bowls. No one will ever do that again. Does he realize that
they could
go to 4 Super Bowls in a row if they just went to this one this year? Like, the Chiefs don't even have to accomplish something else in order to do that. If they just go to the Super Bowl this year,
yes, for those
they would have gone to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
The fact that you're claiming going to 4 when you lost literally every single one of them,
yeah.
It means that's your claim to fame is, hey, we went to 4 in a row, but we dudded every single one of them.
For those who don't know the clip we're talking about, for context, yesterday, Sean McDermott in Buffalo was asked just about how hard it is to get to back to Super Bowls, and you know, obviously, and people talking about the franchise, how they haven't won one, and he was saying, you don't realize how hard it is for what this franchise did back in the 90s and everything, getting to 4 in a row. But yes, when he made the comment in that same press conference, and he said, you know, nobody's ever going to get to 4 in a row again. Yeah, I think he did forget that the Chiefs, literally, if they get to the Super Bowl this year, it'll be 4 in a row. They're close. I mean, yeah. I'm not guaranteeing the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, but, like, they got a pretty damn good chance.
They've been to 4 of the last 5. Except for they won some of them.
Yeah, so I don't think you're right. It's one of those where you say something and you're like, you forget the context fully. And I think he honestly forgot that the Chiefs have gone to 3 straight.
Chiefs have been to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls and have won 3 of them. Like, so, that I mean... It's good. I know what that's like, man. It's fine. Right? They played in 5 of the last 6? Is that the right number?
5 of 7.
So they've gone to 3 in a row. They went to 3 of 4. Then the year before that, they lost the Super Bowl to the Bucks. And then they won the one before that. So they've gone to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've gone to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls.
And nobody's arguing.
And won 3 of them. God, that is so insane. Like, when you say it out loud sometimes as the Chiefs season approaches, it's just good to reflect a little bit and be like, just real quick as a reminder for where your franchise currently is, the Chiefs have been in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls and have won 60% of them to go with it. What were you going to say, Drew?
It's just that, like, nobody's disagreeing with the fact that it's hard to make it, and obviously them getting to 4 in a row is very difficult and is obviously a crazy thing to do, but to say nobody's going to do that again and act like that is your franchise's biggest moment, which to this point it is, it just comes across as a look what we did and we haven't been able to do it since. Like, when was the last time they made it
losers
to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it feels a little loser's lament. I get it.
913-586-7965. Someone took it a different way. They said they think it's him saying that they're going to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, so that's why they won't get to 4. I think you're giving them too much credit. I don't think that's what he was. I honestly don't believe he was thinking, oh, we're going to be the team to stop them. No, I think he just forgot that they've gone to 3 in a row.
I think McDermott is holding the Bills back. And I said that in the middle of last year. Yeah. We're giving credit to the guy who once cited the Taliban as a motivational tool in an inspirational speech, but he's got this figured out? I don't think so. Like, McDermott is holding them back. He is not the league's worst coach. He's not a laughingstock, but he's probably
cited,
like, the 15th.
I think he cited the terrorists of 9/11, so Al-Qaeda.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that was what it was.
But yes.
You're right.
Still,
but so, like, when we go through this, he is like the 16th best coach in the NFL, 17th best coach in the NFL.
Is he that low?
He active. 17th? I think he actively holds.
He's not.
So I can agree with this.
Actively holds.
I can agree with you
on. Is he worse than Zach Taylor?
Hold on. No.
No.
Look.
I wouldn't go that far.
No.
Zach Taylor's one of the 10 worst coaches.
Hold on. We'll get to all that now. We have to spend more time on this in the new now. We don't have enough time to address it already.
Do you want to do it tomorrow? We'll do our coach rankings?
We can do coach rankings tomorrow. I was just going to say, I agree with your, like, what you said of, hey, he perhaps is holding them back. There clearly was a 13-second game. That's true. He's not the 17th best coach. Stop.
He's the top 10 coach.
He's probably, I'd have to think it out real quick. We can do it tomorrow. Off the top of my head, without having, like, any serious thought about this,
my guess
is he's like 9th or 10th, but I gotta map it out and think of the coaches.
I mean, it's not a huge drop when you're talking about
17.
I said 16 or 17.
Oh,
so if I say 16,
that's being a hater. Don't make this like listening to Jesus.
I'm not going to just list coaches.
That's being a hater.
16 might as well be 17. So you're saying he might as well be in the back half of the league as coaches.
Okay, so, like, again, we'll do this list tomorrow now that we're into it. I will have no trouble naming 7 or 8 coaches I'd rather have before Sean McDermott.
I will have
zero issue.
I think there are 7.
Getting to that
he
number.
He gets to 9 or 10, and I think you're going to have to pick him.
But then,
you're going to have to pick some guys that you're not going to like ahead of him.
I don't think so, man. I think I'm going to start listing off, like, Campbell and LaFleur, and I'm going to be ahead of him. I'm going to start feeling pretty good. I think at 13 or 14 is where I might run into an issue.
I don't think you can put a first-year head coach ahead of him either. I don't think you can.
I don't think I'll have a first-year head coach ahead of him.
You don't need to, I don't think.
I don't think that I'll have that. Like, I've got all the Carroll and Tomlin and all of those guys ahead of McDermott.
Is Pete Carroll right now?
Pete Carroll's won everywhere he's ever been, man.
I understand that, but
he's been to multiple Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl.
We'll do this tomorrow. Save the convo for tomorrow. We'll do this tomorrow.
Zach Taylor's bottom 10.
I got a map out.
He's one of the worst coaches in the NFL.
He's
only better than Jonathan.
Let's do this. So tomorrow, everybody can I'll work on it tonight. You guys think about it tonight. Have your top 10 and have your bottom 10,
Have where you have McDermott. We'll do it in 2 breaks. Bottom 10, top 10.
We'll do that tomorrow. Fine. Now you have me curious to think this out. I gotta actually go through the list.
Zach Taylor's only better than, like, Raheem Morris Brian Callahan.
You better Zach give Taylor's Joe Burrow some more props then, because he's overcoming a whole lot more than just a bad
defense.
Right.
Poor
then.
Joey. That's right. Poor
Goodness.
Joey. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also talk more about the Royals, including some fans upset about how they debuted Carter Jensen. I really don't get it. I'll explain why. That's coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.